So this Sunday is the last Sunday of our sermon series on four great prayers. Do y'all remember what they were? What was the first one? Help. Then, oops. Last week was thanks. And today is wow. And today is also, as we said before, the last Sunday before Advent. Go ahead and sit down, please. I'm not even sure, growing up, that I knew that the last Sunday before Advent was even important. Before my internship, I think when I was in seminary, I think that's when I realized that this Sunday was a thing. To be totally honest with you, our family didn't really go to church the Sunday after Thanksgiving, so I didn't really know that even there was Advent 1. We just kind of jumped right in. So this Sunday kind of changes. Sometimes it's today, which is, I'll get to the name of today in a minute, and sometimes it's the first Sunday of Advent. All that said, added to the fact that I didn't know about this Sunday, I didn't like the name of this Sunday when I first heard it. Today is Christ the King Sunday. Reign of Christ Sunday. Yeah, I have the same reaction to it. I don't know about you, but hearing Christ as King gives me pause. It kind of gives me the willies. Kings don't have a history of being very trustworthy. Kings tend to lord over their subjects without any resistance to their power. And if you already have any suspicion of the church, which, I mean, today, how can we not? Hearing Christ the King Sunday doesn't really give you the warm and fuzzies now, does it? As I said before, there is an alternative name for today, Reign of Christ Sunday, but that still leaves us to assign whatever connotations we want to this day and whatever connotations we want from the day about Jesus. And you might say, well, yeah, like this day doesn't make, the name doesn't make any sense. I thought Jesus was a humble preacher. I thought that Jesus was a wrongly convicted criminal. And how does any of that go along with being a king? Maybe you just think, whatever, can we just move on to Christmas? Who cares about Christ the King? I'm looking forward to little infant baby 7-pound, however many ounce Jesus. What does it matter to me if Jesus is a king or a baby? Where is he anyway? Well, those are questions I wonder. The celebration of Christ the King Sunday began in 1925 when the Catholic Church realized that the West was forgetting about the Lordship of Christ. The Catholic Church wanted to remind the people that Jesus was actually king, not the dictators who were rising to power then. And so if we think about the history of Europe at that time, in the mid-1920s, you remember this is when Mussolini and Hitler were rising to power, and others like them. But clearly their plan didn't work, because the dictator still rose. The other reason that they wanted to name this as Christ the King Sunday and think about Christ as King was to counteract secularism. We see how well that worked too. It didn't. Just stating that Christ is King is a very different thing than living like he is. So, all that said, what does it mean for us to say that Christ is King? Because we don't often even utter that phrase unless it might be in a song. I'm not sure even we know what it means to live in a kingdom. I mean, how many of y'all enjoy watching those old, the British shows that show the monarchy, like The Queen or Victoria? Any of y'all like those shows? Or Downton Abbey with aristocracy? Right, yeah, exactly. It's really cool, like the dresses and the jewelry, but none of us really know what it's like to live under a monarch. We don't know what it means to be subjects. Because our understanding of authority is based in democracy. Our leaders stay in power through their popularity, and there's a balance of power. Kingship, on the other hand, is not elected. Kingship comes from the nature and the being of the king. One has to be born into a regal line. The people who live in a kingdom aren't citizens, right? They're subjects. They're bound to the authority of their sovereign. They rely upon the sovereign to protect them and rule with honor. But so often in history, many kings and queens failed to do that. So, My first reaction to hearing Christ the King Sunday is, I'm sorry, what? Christ the King? Which is perhaps the point. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, but to label the mysterious love made incarnate in Jesus Christ with imperialistic terms definitely requires explanation. Jesus Christ is, in fact, king, but not as one might think from the casual use of the word king. I interpret Christ the King as a statement which itself stands in contrast with the common experience of life. To say Christ the King may not make sense to those who don't know that real power doesn't rest in empire and in the domination of others, but instead in the love made known in the life, teaching, and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is called King in Scripture, so that is scripturally accurate. But even there is a layer of meaning that we would do well to acknowledge. When the first followers of Jesus called him King, they were saying so out of defiance to Caesar and to their Roman governors. They were saying that they don't care what allegiance and personal loyalty to their human rulers require. That's not important. Their allegiance and their loyalty belong to Jesus. These first Christians might have even said, "You can kill me and I will still be victorious." Do we speak like that anymore? We don't. Do we see Jesus as our King? Do we see him as our ruler, as our Lord? I think if I'm honest, I struggle with it. Maybe you do too. Are we loyal to who and what he calls us to be? Perhaps if we better understood how Jesus is King and how he calls us, we would more readily offer our allegiance to him. What makes the kingship of Jesus mysterious is that he holds the power of life and death in his hands, but he doesn't force this power onto anybody. In fact, one does not even become a subject of this king without choosing to surrender his or her life to Jesus. The rule that Jesus exercises in our lives manifests itself in love, which requires our cooperation and never coercion. Jesus is a king like no other. Psalm 93 speaks of God as king. It's offering praise and reverence to God. But what might be lost in the reading of Psalm 93, its beautiful words, and I didn't catch it at first, is that the psalmist is singing this song while in trouble. Imagine being surrounded by chaos, by the rushing sound of floodwaters. And in the midst of that din, the psalmist sings his song of the majesty of God, even while the floodwaters rage around him. In singing praise of God in the midst of challenge, we glimpse what living like Christ as King is all about. And as I said before, today is not only Christ the King Sunday, but it's also the last day of our sermon series on prayer. We've talked about praying, help, oops, and thanks, and today we talk about wow. When I meet someone who has had faith that prompts them to sing songs of God's praise, even in the middle of hardship, I say, wow. Wow. Wow, God. You actually are able to wipe away tears. When I've experienced that myself, wow, God, you are real, and you do care about even me, and you made this thing that I can't even understand better. When we pray, wow, it helps us to realize just how big God is. This series is modeled, as you recall, after Anne Lamott's book, Help, Thanks, Wow. And she has something to say about wow in the chapter of the same name. I want to read a little bit of it. Wow has a reverberation. Wow, 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 wow. And this pulse can soften us like the electrical massage an acupuncturist directs to your spine or cramped muscle, which feels like a staple gun, but good. The movement of grace from hard to soft, distracted to awake, mean to gentle again, is mysterious but essential. As a tiny little control freak, I want to understand the power of WoW so I can organize it and control it and up its rate and frequency. But I can't. I can only feel it and acknowledge that it is here once again. WoW. Even though I often remember my pastor saying that God always makes a way out of no way, periodically, something awful happens, and I think that this time, God has met her match. A child dies, or a young father is paralyzed. Nothing can possibly make things okay again. People and grace surround the critically injured person or the family. Time passes. It's beyond bad. It's actually a nightmare. But people don't bolt. And at some point, the first shoot of grass breaks through the sidewalk. The words wow and awe are the same height and width, all W's and short vowels. They could dance together, even when, maybe especially when, we don't cooperate. This energy, the breath, the glory, the goodness of God is given. Lamont's experience echoes the experience of the psalmist. And perhaps your experience echoes the psalmist too. And perhaps all this seems too hard to believe. One of the reasons that we come together in church is to meet people and hear real stories from people who have had wow moments with God. When you're going through the hard times, as many of us are right now, because of the division in our state, in our country, or even challenges that are much closer to home, it helps to hear that there is something more, that there is a God out there who is actually more powerful than the worst things that are happening. God appears in these most unexpected places. So, what wows us? What wows you? We're wowed by things and we're amazed and we're surprised. I had a wow experience a few weeks ago as I prepared to take off on an airplane. What's crazy, if you were up early this morning, it was really foggy, and it was really foggy that morning too. So close your eyes and remember the fog this morning. So I have flown on airplanes since I was a little girl. My mother worked for an airline, so I don't even remember my first flight. But that foggy morning, before we took off, I was a little nervous. I'm never nervous on airplanes. But that morning, I was nervous. As I sat there waiting, this really foggy, low-hanging cloud morning, I realized something about the pilots. Because I couldn't see anything, right? And I'm like, we're about to go like however many fast down the runway to take off. But can we see if there's a plane in the way? I don't know. But I realized that we weren't relying on what I knew. We were relying on what the pilots knew to take off. The pilots could not have gotten that plane into the air if they were timid when it was time to give those engines power. They had instruments and air traffic control which told them that they were clear to take off. So they gave the engines max power, even though they couldn't see anything. We took off into the milky sky, and then we were surrounded by clouds. You couldn't see anything out of the windows. And then we broke through into beautiful blue skies, and the clouds were below us. Wow. Our lives of faith are a lot like the experience of taking off into fog. We rarely have clear skies when God invites us to have more faith, do we? We just have to trust God and go. There are some things in life that we can't ease into. Like those pilots could not have eased down the runway. They had to give it everything or else we weren't going to make it. But a lot of things in our life are the same way. You can't ease into parenting. You could try, it's not really going to work. You can't really ease into marriage. You can't ease out of an old job and into a new job. They kind of don't like it when you do that. God calls us to trust. God calls us to trust God because God reigns. Now, we shouldn't be foolhardy, because back to the experience on the airplane, those pilots had a trustworthy means to know that it was time to take off, right? I mean, they had instruments and they had air traffic control in their ears telling them when it was ready to go. And we too have to develop our trustworthy means to discern the voice of God. This is why we pray consistently. As you pray to God, asking for help and for what your heart desires, and admitting your faults and giving thanks and offering praise for the very being of God, you also begin to learn how to sit quietly, attentive to God's response to you. I know the term Christ the King may remain a little weird for each of us, especially as we now turn toward Advent. But the crazy thing about Advent is that we are at once celebrating the birth of Jesus and reflecting upon what it will mean when his kingdom will be fully realized. Right now, we have wow moments. But then, when God's kingdom is fully realized, our whole existence will be wow. And until then, the moments are just going to have to suffice. But aren't these moments beautiful anyway? When I was in 12th grade, I remember a classmate saying that she just couldn't imagine anyone other than herself being in charge of her life. And I remember looking across the classroom at her and thinking, I'm so grateful that everything that happens to me isn't my responsibility. I can't manage all that. And even now, I'm so grateful that everything that happens in my life, in all of our lives, isn't up to us as individuals. We live in this beautiful, interconnected community with one another. So that when I make a mistake, y'all are there to help correct it. And when there are evil people out there somewhere, that God can transform even that evil into something else. Where God is here with us in kind words, in the fellowship, in the stories that we share in church of how we thought we couldn't make it, but somehow we did, we see how God reigns. God reigns. The loving, generous, incarnate God reigns. Your challenge this week, then, is to pray for God to help you see. God is present all the time, right? But often we can't perceive God. Pray that God will open your minds, open your eyes, open your hearts to perceive God's nearness. I pray for you that you'll be wowed by God this week. But here's a little trick to that. If you're looking for wow, you won't see it. But just leave yourselves open to the unexpected. Maybe your wow will be the laughter of a child. Maybe your wow will be the perfect golden fallen leaf. When you have your wow moment, share it with somebody. Try to explain it. It's hard to explain wow moments, but try anyway. And even bring them back here and share them as we socialize next Sunday with the snacks so we can share what our wow moments are. Trusting God's reign in our lives is an ongoing process. And if you can't do it today, that's fine. Keep working at it. In acknowledging that it is God who reigns, we know that we don't. We, in fact, no human reigns over this world. And as hard as it is to hear, we don't reign over our lives either. One infinitely and eternally more wise, more compassionate, more just than us reigns, and that's God. Thanks be to God. Amen. As the band comes back up, we're preparing for our time of offering this morning. So, as Elaine mentioned, we were focusing a lot in October on your financial gifts and preparing for making our giving plan for 2019. And in sharing what we're going to do this month here, in planning how we're going to offer our time. And so we first want to say thank you for what you've given already this year. Thank you for what you're going to give today. And thank you for what you plan to give going forward. Because this service works, this church works, on the money that we all share back to God, and also on the time, the effort, and the prayers that each one of you share to benefit this community. So let's pray, and then we'll take up this morning's offering. God, thank you so much for all the many gifts you've given to each of us. Thank you for this gathered community. And thank you for the resources that you've given to us and that which we will turn back to you. Please multiply them such that your ministry will flourish and that we can share your good news in this community and help us to meet you already at work in this city of Decatur and in DeKalb County and in Georgia and throughout this country and world. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.